Let's go. Welcome on in to the Auburn Daily Show Friday edition. So glad to be back. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, Auburn baseball writer for auburndaily.com. Also the host of Locked On MLB Prospects. And filling in for the lovely Harrison Tarr, we have Dylan Lark, host of The College Loop, a podcast covering all things Auburn sports. And Dylan, there's a big story in Auburn sports right now, obviously, as we're recording this on Friday morning. And it is that Auburn has won their first round matchup in the NCAA tournament, defeating Iowa last night, 83-75. And so now, going to be moving on to Saturday. They will take on number one seed Houston at 6:10 p.m. Central on Saturday. They're in Birmingham. What were some of your takeaways, or I guess the big thing that stood out to you from the victory over Iowa?
The biggest thing that stuck out to me was all week we've been preaching how this is going to be a Jahni Broome needs to step up. Jahni Broome needs to step up. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. And he did. That was something that I thought was very important to this game. He put up 19 points, I believe, pull out the box score as I'm talking, 12 rebounds, and put up 5 blocks on the box score. I think Jahni Broome really proved that he is the best player on this team, and he should be the best player on the court at any given time, depending on who he's playing. But storyline after that, I'd go to the bench. Trey Donaldson, Katie Johnson both put up 11 points. And I can go on about Katie Johnson. If you want a 40-minute show, just let me talk about Katie Johnson.
I think the big takeaway, like taking these one at a time, I think the big takeaway on Jahni Broome is, 19 points, 12 rebounds, 5 blocks. He was the first SEC player to break 15 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks in a game since Anthony Davis did it in 2012. Just pure dominance inside. And the big thing to me was Iowa had 2 front court starters that were fantastic scoring threats in Chris Murray, who I think is going to be an NBA pick, and Philip Rabraka. I think I always get this wrong. But he outscores both of them, and then he individually keeps them from hitting double digits and rebounds and has more blocks on them than the entire team. And it just felt like he was his kind of usual dominant self. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like the new aspect of his game you've seen a little bit more recently has been his shooting from deep and what kind of element that can give this offense as you go forward, right?
Fun fact about his three-point shooting ability, he's actually 5'10" in high school, so he played a little bit of guard. So the shooting comes from his ability to play guard if he was able to, but right now at, I believe, 6'10", 6'9". So that's where that shooting comes from him.
Definitely big boy. And you talk about the bench doing well and, kind of – like the impact that they had. When you look at this, you mentioned Katie Johnson, Trey Donaldson. I noticed that I think Iowa finished with more bench points than Auburn, but most of theirs came from one player. Auburn got contributions from a lot of different guys on the bench, and it kind of feels like that ended up being one of the turning points in the game, is how Auburn's depth was able to outlast Iowa's depth.
Yeah, so Iowa put up 27 bench points. Auburn had 26, but 21 of the 27 for Iowa came from one player, Sanford. But looking at Trey Donaldson, I think this might have been a career high for him as of right now, just because we haven't really seen a shooting performance from Trey Donaldson. He's usually the facilitator coming on the court after Wendell Green, not really the shooting kind. He'll put up like a point, like 2 points or so. But last night, I mean, he didn't miss a shot. He 2 for 2 on free throws, 3 of 3 from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. And me and Harris Tarr talked about it yesterday on our reaction show some of those shots were just heat checks. He made that first one, then, why not? Throw up another one. Oh, 2 in a row? Okay, why not? Put up another one. And if you look at the other guard, Katie Johnson, his ability to put his body on the line for this team, I know you don't know what Katie Johnson you're going to get on the court at any given night, but over the past month or so, we've seen probably the best Katie Johnson we've seen in an Auburn uniform, probably best Katie Johnson we've seen in a basketball uniform. Some are saying that he might be the best Katie in basketball. But his ability to jump over people to and still just get right back up like a psychopath and stick his tongue out at people wide eye and just play his heart out. That's what gets this team really going.
Yeah, and something that I think is a little bit maybe undercounted by Auburn fans or not necessarily as, you know, kind of overlooked is what Wendell Green was able to do late in the game. He's had some issues this year as far as, you know, the final plays and late game situations. But if you look like going down the stretch yesterday, he's got 7 scoring situations and he doesn't miss at all. 2 clutch layups, he has 2 assists, and he goes 6 for 6 from the line. And so it's something where, yes, a lot of scrutiny his direction in the last couple of weeks, but it feels like he's also won you some games in the second half, and something where it still feels like the right decision to do late in the game if you need a bucket is to put the ball in Wendell Green's hands, right?
Yes. So as we speak right now, Wendell Green has he has the most consecutive free throws made in Auburn basketball history with 32 as we speak. And that's probably bound to go up a little bit. I'm going to knock on my desk real quick because it's made of wood, but Wendell Green's ability to drive in. So Iowa's defense has been pretty terrible all throughout the season, but yesterday their ability to shut down Wendell Green from the arc was pretty crazy. We haven't really seen a SEC team even try to do that, but Wendell Green has this ability to make the three, but he also has a downfall, which is he's very inconsistent at them. But Wendell Green is such a versatile guard. He knows if he's not making a three, he can drive in, and he's small. He's 5'10" and some change, or probably shorter than that. If he's going to drive in, he's going to get fouled, and he knows he can shoot a free throw better than your team can. Like, Wendell Green's ability to do that is what makes him such a good guard.
Yeah, and it's something where you really feels like the team's kind of rounding into form here late, right at the right time. And I think, speaking of timing, I think it's kind of fortunate of the timing when you get Houston this Saturday. I mean, we're never going to celebrate an injury or cheer an injury, but if you look at the status of some of Houston's best players, Marcus Sasser gets pulled at the half of their win on Thursday night. They beat Northern Kentucky in the 16-1 matchup, 63-52. And then guard Jamal Sheed is I think it's a knee injury he had on Thursday to go along with Sasser's groin. It's something where you have a question about whether either of those guys are going to be able to play on Saturday. And so what can we expect from this veteran Auburn team with this imposing defense as you take on a Houston team possibly missing their top 2 players?
So you can expect a lot of probably the same type of defense we played against Iowa. You're going to have a lot of switch zone where you're going to try to shut down the 3-point line, because Iowa was a great 3-point shooting team in the regular season. Houston has a lot of players who are over 32% from the 3-point line. You're going to probably see the same kind of defense. Offensively, you got to slow it down. Maybe they'll do it the same way they did it against Iowa. I'm just going to keep comparing the Iowa game because it's probably one of the best Auburn teams we've seen this season. Mm-hmm. But Houston isn't smaller than Auburn this time around. Auburn has to really rely on Jani Broome yet again, because looking at around, there's not a position, I think, on this but they're all around the same size as Auburn. But the guard play, Wendell Green's 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", somewhere in that ballpark, if you want to count his hair or not. Marcus Sasser, 6'1", I believe, or 6'2", and Jamal Sheed is 6'1". You're going to be relying on Zepp Jasper to shut down those guards from the 3-point line. I mean, Sheed is putting up 41% field goal percentage, and Sasser's 43.9%. You cannot let them get comfortable. You cannot let them shoot the ball. That's what you got to look for in this game.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting matchup. And if you're watching on Saturday and you want a little bit more, I don't know, like if you don't want to just be anxious because it's Auburn basketball, but you want to have a little skin in the game too, this season Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. It's a free app that lets you choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over or under on their performance predictions for the next game, and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options. You can still get paid on if you win 3 of 5, 2 of 3, things like that. And you can even have multiple sports in the same parlay. So go to Prize Picks, use promo code Auburn to get double your first deposit up to $100. It's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit. During the NCAA tournament, win some money with Prize Picks and Auburn Daily and promo code Auburn.
All right, well, we spent a lot of time on the basketball segment. Now to get your expertise, as you will, on Auburn baseball, which actually starts playing today. I got the time just escaped me, but I'm sure you know.
4 p.m. They moved the game up from 6 p.m. to 4 p.m. in Arkansas because it's going to be like 40 degrees once the sun goes down in Fayetteville. So game's been moved up a little bit earlier today. But the good news is tomorrow's game, being at 2 o'clock, should finish in plenty of time to turn on the NCAA tournament. It's a perfect segue.
And you can't forget SEC championships and gymnastics is also going to be going on Saturday. It's a busy day on Saturday for all you crazy Auburn fans out there who are going to be 3 screens up watching all 3 games. But one of the biggest question marks going into the series is we have not seen Joseph Gonzalez pitch in about 3 weeks at this point. It feels like it's been forever. So what is the status of him right now? He's out listed as a starter this weekend, but what are you hearing?
Yeah, so the official starters, Tommy Vaile on Friday, Zach Crotchfeld on Saturday, and TBA on Sunday. And that was really contingent on Joseph's bullpen. They had him throwing yesterday morning before they were scheduled to fly out to Fayetteville. And if he looked good in that bullpen, if they were comfortable, that would have been a second bullpen since they reactivated them from the shoulder injury he was having. If he looked good, then he was a candidate to either get some innings in relief or possibly even start that Sunday game. Now, they've been very close to the vest on how things are going. From what I understand, it went well enough where I think we can expect in some capacity to see Joseph Gonzalez this weekend. And so if he is able to be the Sunday starter, which is, again, what they're kind of working towards and what they're hoping, you're in a situation where you've got lefty Tommy Vaile on Friday, veteran, very much the, you know, the sinker slider pitch to contact kind of guy, has given up a grand total of 0 earned runs this entire season. You've got Zach Crotchfeld on Saturday, the true freshman that can just blow it past you. He's got the swing and miss stuff. He can run the fastball up to 95 or so. Very, very effective fastball guy. And then you've got another sinker slider look in Joseph Gonzalez on Sunday, your most efficient starter when he's on, who can just get ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. And that's something you're going to need because this is an Arkansas team offensively that averages over 300 batting average all the way through the lineup. Like the lineup is averaging 310, 425, 566, and they've got 34 home runs as a team. So you definitely need to get to that next plane of softer contact and not allowing that hard contact. And I think that's why it's crucial to get Joseph Gonzalez back for game 3.
Yeah, so I guess my next question, I'm going to keep with the pitching staff. Can Tommy Vaile and Crotchfeld and possible not Gonzo, if he's not able to play or if he's just going to be a closer for a couple games, how can they stop this Arkansas offense with the injuries and whatnot in the outfield?
So a big part of this for Auburn is going to be, like, one, they've already cut down on the walks. They had an issue early in the year with free passes, and Butch Thompson's kind of been taking this step at a time. The first step was cut down on the walks. They got that down to 1 free pass in 12 innings against Georgia Tech on Tuesday. So I asked Butch Thompson about this, and he said the next step is we're still allowing hard contact. And so we need to get to that next level of take the sting out of the swing, get them, instead of letting them square a ball up, let them, you know, get them to roll over it, put it on the ground. And from there, we need to get into the swing and miss kind of stuff. And Auburn still got some of that swing and miss stuff in the back end of the bullpen. You look at a Chase Alsup with the velocity hitting 97 or so. You look at a John Armstrong with that, incredibly stupid frisbee slider that he has. But those earlier guys, it's very much a you're glad that you're not walking guys. And rather than trying to work to find the zone, they're just trying to work to maybe be a little more precise where in the zone you leave it, so that you can avoid the hard contact. You saw at one point in time, Georgia Tech has five consecutive doubles on Tuesday night. But it's very much going to be limit the damage, because this Auburn team has been known for years, and especially last season and this season, they can come from behind and win. This offense continues to fight and can generate runs at almost any given time. And so keep the game within a couple runs. Don't let Arkansas get way out in front. Give the offense a chance to battle back and stay in the fight. That's the big thing Butch Thompson says. Stay in the fight. And I'm confident if the pitching staff can hold Arkansas to a reasonable run total, the offense will have the time to catch back up.
Yeah. You bring up Auburn's offense ability to get back into games. If you were one of those sickos who watched the Georgia Tech game where it went
I was there. I was there in the press box in all 45 degrees of it. So, yes, 12 innings, 4 hours and 22 minutes is how long that game was. 47 hits, I think, between the two teams in the game.
Yeah, I was watching it on my computer right here while I was playing a video game, because I was like, I'm just going to wait for this game to end.
Insane game.
Go back to injuries. Bobby Peters, Chris Stanfield, McMurray, Cole Foster all dealing with injuries. What is their status going into this weekend?
Okay, so starting from the top, I think Chris Stanfield is cleared to play. He left that Georgia Tech game in the sixth inning after he collided with the wall trying to make a catch in the outfield. Ended up being more precautionary than anything. He felt some kind of lower leg tightness and so went to the trainer. The trainer pulled him. So he is good to go for this weekend. Cole Foster is kind of a game time decision. He strained something in the abdominal area, making the final out of the game last weekend. And he's cleared all of the hitting stuff. You know, whenever you talk about hitting, there's a lot of twisting, a lot of core action. He's cleared all of that. He just needs to be able to get through infield drills, do the defensive work. And so he's a true kind of game time decision. They won't know until tonight in pregame warmups how he's feeling. Bobby Pierce with the hamstring, he's still a couple weeks away. It's something where hamstrings are so finicky, and every time they think he's just about ready, it gets a little tight on him again. They can't quite get it loose. He can't quite. The issue with something like a hamstring and playing the outfield like he does, sometimes you'll be standing there not doing anything for 10 minutes and then you have to hit full speed. And it's not quite there yet. Cooper McMurray's high ankle sprain. He is probably the farthest away from being back in action. Still has a lot of discoloration to it. Can't quite put weight on that side and on it yet. He's taking swings, but it's all upper body. It's not really a lot of lower body. Can't get the full chain into there. And so he's the farthest away. In the meantime, Cooper McMurray being out and some of these injuries have meant that we've got to see Ike Irish at first base. So not only does he lead the team now offensively as far as batting average on base percentage, but also he's playing an okay first base. You've been able to see Chris Stanfield in the lineup in place of Pierce. And then you're seeing true freshman Gavin Miller get in the lineup at third when Caden Green has to move over to shortstop. So it's been a blessing in disguise. You've been able to get some looks at some of these other guys like a Stanfield, like a Miller, that weren't going to have a ton of playing time early, but you definitely want to have as many options as you can so you can get the best picture and make the best possible lineup, especially facing an Arkansas team that's got a lot of good pitching, and you wouldn't mind having some of these veterans like a Foster back in the game this weekend.
Yeah, and looking at all these younger guys who are in the lineup, you have Gavin Miller, who's a freshman, starting at third base in case, Cole Foster's not able to go and all that. Who are you looking to step up this weekend? It could be a freshman, could be a pitcher, could be someone in the batting lineup.
I really think you're going to see Gavin Miller be a guy that ends up having a bigger role. He only has 10 at-bats on the year, but he's got four hits. He scored three runs. He hit a double, a couple RBIs. He's looked really good in his at-bats. Was kind of iffy the first time he got out there, but he seemed to really kind of settle down. So I'm expecting some big things from him. And then pitching-wise, Tanner Bowman is a guy transferred in from junior college, so he's a JUCO bandit. Started the last couple Friday nights, but is, you know, Tommy Vail now has that spot on Friday night. And he's somebody who is very flexible. It feels like you can call on him in relief. You can have him start. You can have him, you know, you can use him whenever you need to. He's that guy that you just give him the ball and you say go, and he's going to give you everything in the tank. And so I look for, there's going to be some point in time this weekend. I don't know if it'll be when Tommy Vail comes out tonight. I don't know if it'll be Sunday when they realize that Joseph Gonzalez can't go, but Tanner Bowman's going to be given the ball. And I think he's going to be able to give you multiple very effective innings kind of at the drop of a hat. And it's just a very versatile weapon to have available to you as a swing man out of the bullpen. So I look for big things from Tanner Bowman. And then I've been very impressed with what I've seen from Chris Stanfield. He's already got two triples on the year. You know, he's played nine games, 35 at bats, but already has two triples, slugging 714, which is one of the highest totals on the team. I think it's second highest behind Bryson Ware. So looking for him to have another big weekend as well in that larger outfield they have in Fayetteville.
All right. My last question for you. So yes, we've talked about it. Me and Tara talked about it. We've talked about it a little bit, how huge it'd be for Auburn to even steal one game out of this series, because they just refuse to get swept ever, because Auburn is not normal in any sport. That's a definite fact. So what are your chances that Auburn wins the series in Fayetteville?
So don't necessarily know if Auburn's going to win the series in Fayetteville. Ultimately, I don't know how much you're going to be, or I guess I don't know how what you can expect out of the starters, right? As far as depth and as far as runs allowed, I am very, very curious to see what Tommy Vail does against an SEC lineup. He's done a lot of midweek stuff. It's been against non-conference opponents for the most part, not Power Five, excluding the one inning he got against Georgia Tech. So just not knowing what the starters are going to give you. And then obviously if you even have Gonzalez or not for Sunday, not going to say Auburn's going to win the series. I do think Auburn's not going to get swept. They were one of five teams in all of college baseball last year that did not lose three consecutive games. So I don't think this is a team that's going to get swept. I do think they'll pick up at least one game in Fayetteville. If I had to put money on it, and really I'm looking at props more so than just actual games, but I'm thinking it's probably a 1-2 road trip. I do know that just about every SEC team, the coaches poll, they all picked Auburn to finish last in the West. Every SEC school is expecting to sweep Auburn when they bring them in, and they're expecting to win the series when they come to Auburn. So Auburn taking one game and challenging for the series, I don't think we'll know who's going to win the series until game three. I think that's going to go a big way to kind of increasing the stature of Auburn baseball when it comes to their perception around the conference and in some of the more national media. Dylan, where can folks go to get more info about you and the stuff that you've got going on right now?
All right. Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, if you're watching, it's just right below me. But if you're listening, it is at your boy, the tank. That is at YABOI, the tank. Also catch me in the Auburn Daily Show every Monday and Wednesday. Monday with Lance Daw, Wednesday with Harrison Tarr. Also catch me on any other show where Tarr can't cover. So like on Fridays by chance. Also follow me on the College Loop. That is my podcast where we talk about Auburn sports every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. You can follow us anywhere: YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, if you're into that, and of course Twitter, the College Loop.
There you go. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. My show, Locked On MLB Prospects, available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. You can find the Auburn writing, auburndaily.com, as well as the Braves writing at bravestoday.com, covering the Atlanta Braves. Until Monday, enjoy the sports this weekend. This has been the Auburn Daily Show.